Hello, this is Caleb, your host of Caffeinated Connections. I'm joined here with the mythical, the well-known, the one with the name that you can remember just as if it's a name of a flavor of ice cream, Mark Palumbo, or I guess like an Italian cuisine or something.
That was fantastic. Wow, what a mythical. That I've never heard that one before. That's cool. I like that.
But yeah, we're joined by Mark. He's a prior graduate, so it's been about a year since he's graduated.
Yeah, I guess it'll be a year from tomorrow. We were just speaking before we started the podcast about how, you know, you graduate tomorrow and how crazy that is.
It's a very insane experience. Just like 4 fucking years. Mm. I don't know what it's like. You're kind of like a future version of me, just different, obviously career and all that, but like, you are 1 year out of graduating. So I'm curious on, like, I'm coming into that same very shoes. So, like, what have you learned from being graduated and jumping into that workforce? Or, like, if you want to just introduce yourself and then we can go into that question.
No, I think you introduced myself, Mythical Works. No, my name is Mark Palumbo. And, yeah, I was the student government president here last year. I ran the chess club. I founded that as well. And I was just very active on campus when I was here. I worked with Caleb a good bit in random aspects of the Point Park ecosystem.
Every year we seem to always somehow find our way associated.
Somehow.
Somehow. Yeah. You know, 3 a.m.
Fun.
3 a.m.
Oh, yeah.
In a shoot about violence. And like, you don't get any more random than literally shooting a video at 3 a.m. and it's like, oh, yeah, please do some photos. Our mutual friend Luca decided to do a whole shoot because it was the only thing that worked for our schedules. And, like, I've met so many interesting individuals, not even just, like, that know you, and then I know you by association. I'm like, yeah, my buddy Mark, you know. I still go back to that one photo of you holding up, you know, apply for student government.
Oh, yeah.
And it's still, you know, one of the best photos. And then I actually looked at some old photos to get an idea of...
Gosh, you've really taken, like, all of my pictures.
I really have. And you actually... it was really, really complimenting that you took the photo that I took of you at graduation, put it on your LinkedIn
for
a while.
Yeah,
and that was fucking awesome. Like, that literally, for those that are listening, best thing that you can fucking do as a client or anyone that receives a photo is... You don't have to do it, but if you like it and you make it your profile picture, it is the best fucking compliment. Like, you don't even have to leave a fucking review. All you've got to do is just, if you set that as any profile picture that publicly can be seen, it threw me off because I was like, holy shit, he has it on his Facebook. Holy fuck. And it was really exciting because it's like, you know, you've seen how much I've grown, even just over the time that you were here.
Yeah, man.
So it's, you know, hitting that point where sophomore year I started to really jump into that professional world and really go, you know, against the grain and kind of see who I was and really determined who I was despite all the stuff that was going around. And I mean, I feel like adversity is one of the biggest drivers to being an individual.
Absolutely, for sure.
You don't get any bigger or better unless you face adversity or some sort of challenge. So I believe that.
Otherwise, what are we doing, right?
I mean, yeah, what are we doing? It's literally just the battle against perfectionism. And I mean, that's about as close as you get. And everything else is just these challenges that come up. But yeah, you've been doing a lot recently in the last year. What, you got a lottery commercial?
Yeah. I've been, it's been a wild ride. And just even being back here, first of all, in this studio where I used to run the SGA podcast, where I did a ton of like social media stuff for, just Point Park in general. It was really wild to like, just step back in here. I'm got to be honest. But yeah, no, ever since I graduated, I had a couple different jobs. I'm not going to lie. I was sort of figuring out my path, but I was excited and I still am excited. It's only been a year, but I feel like it's been like 5 sometimes just because of how much stuff I've done. I think that's sometimes good and bad. And I'm going to tell you why, because you were asking me earlier how, like, you know, you're excited, right? And and I know exactly how you're feeling. You know, tomorrow's graduation and you're like, man, there's endless possibilities. And there is endless possibilities for sure. But you have to learn how to pace yourself at the same time, so you don't want to get burned out, right? And you also have to, you know, you probably learned that from being here already, because I've felt that many times. But also, it's a little different experience when you start having some, you know, bills if you don't already, and then you're having, you know, other responsibilities that come from that, from working one job, two jobs, three jobs, you know.
Or doing gig work, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, and you know, especially whenever you're running your own businesses and stuff like that, or, you know, with your photography business. I mean, I know that can't be easy.
Yeah, especially when you're you're not only an entrepreneur, you're selling yourself, you're selling your brand. Not only that, but you're also the editor, mm-hmm. the producer. You're everything under the sun in graphic designer. You know, rarely will I have enough money to be able to outsource that. Mm-hmm. And like, I'm lucky enough to be able to have enough talent and to do that. But I've learned that where, you know, the fun of our current dynamic and the world that we're in, we can just outsource that on Fiverr or something like that. It's
yeah.
great. It's yeah. great to have that. And that I very much appreciate, to where I know that I'm good at what I do.
Mm-hmm.
I could definitely spend hours and work on a graphic or whatever it is. I outsource that kind of stuff because I'm like, I'm going to let the professionals do it. They're good at what they do. I'm going to pay them good money.
Mm-hmm.
That's one thing I did for my logo. And I definitely want to get it done with the podcast, because I just kind of threw my podcast logo together. But mm-hmm. we're, you know, hopefully a rebrand in the future, because yeah. it was just a simple thing to throw on. But essentially, I mean, there's a lot of plans for the podcast itself, but we've had a really good reception. And I mean, I was just like, I definitely have wanted to have you on. I just haven't had the time to really put it together. And I don't like planning things, but I like a plan. I like some idea of something to go next, because I've learned planning, especially when you're in that gig world and you're trying to have a consistency, but it's you always just want the next thing and the next thing. So that idea of going back to I'm about to graduate, and that excitement, it's containing that excitement and being able to still be realistic while still having those emotions.
Yeah, but honestly, from my experience too, maybe I'm still a kid in this regard. I am very starry-eyed still when it comes to big picture things, when it comes to Hollywood movies and just, you know, having a big house in the future or whatever it might be. There's a lot of things that, like, when I was growing up, I was like, man, this is like so cool. Like, look at all these big actors. I have all this stuff. And again, I still think that is interesting to me because I haven't had it. However, at the same time, with the jobs that I've had, so I work for the Pittsburgh Cultural Trust downtown. And I work at all of their non-union spaces. So that would include Liberty Magic, the Roar Building, which is like their Trust Arts Education Center. And also Three Stories, which is a brand new theater that just opened up right on Liberty Avenue. And I want to put this out there because I think it's really important to know. The Trust's mission is to support the arts and the cultural district. And by one of the things they do that as a nonprofit is they offer their spaces for very limited costs, and you can even, depending on what your mission and what you're using the space for, you might even be able to get it for free potentially if you write some letters and you explain your reasons why you think you deserve that space for certain costs. So it's really, really nice what they're doing, and also it supports their mission. So depending on what you want to do in the arts, for you, Caleb, for your photography business, you can easily set up a couple day shoot in one of
or an exhibition
studios.
Too.
Yeah,
I was looking at like an exhibition because I know I have some artwork that I want to showcase, and
mm-hmm.
maybe just put an art show of my own, like a whole exhibition of my own
yeah.
together, because I actually have enough work for that.
There's also galleries they have there. Yeah, so there's absolutely stuff you can do. So you definitely have enough work at this time. Probably you can, you know, put up
an entire wall with your face.
Oh, that's exactly what I was looking for.
Yep.
Good.
Yep.
Yeah.
We're gonna do that.
All right. You're in. Dude.
But it's the idea that I enjoy those spaces, and I'm starting to learn about, oh, wait, I'm not just limited to here. I can go and tour if I want to, because I have my work from the exhibition. I'm not sure if you've seen it yet, but I had my exhibition at Artist Image Resources. I just took it down a while ago, and it was insane. And the show, the crowd was awesome, and the conversations were awesome. And I mean, with what I've been up to, I mean, I'm sure you've seen a little bit of what I've been up to, and it's, I mean, people on the podcast have heard here and there, but it has been a trip. It does not feel like it's been a year. It truly doesn't feel like a year. Like, it feels like it's been a lifetime.
Oh, really?
I
thought my year went really fast.
Mine went fast, but it's like the amount of containment of that 1 year, it felt so concentrated as I was going into it, to where there was no necessarily specific outcome.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoyed the journey. I enjoyed the process. Yeah. And I started to appreciate the process. So not only growing as a person, but growing as an artist and human.
Mm.
And it's been such a different dynamic and different way of just thinking, of like just being myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I've learned that it's really good. Mm. Like, just to be yourself. Yes, you're weird. Yes, we're going to be weird. Yes, we're going to be a little out there. But I think that that's what makes us. We are essentially the engineers of our time. We are the innovators. And the innovators are not going to do what everyone else is going to do.
Yeah. And I like what you said earlier about, you know, everyone's a brand now. And it's true. It's true. Everyone is a brand.
Look
how you market yourself. Yeah, man. How you market yourself on social media. How you even, how you walk around your daily life and you talk to others. You know, you represent something. You represent yourself, but in all these different platforms. So I think that's also really interesting. And when I don't think I got to mention this yet, but my other job at the talent group, that has been also really eye-opening for me when it comes to like business. So I graduated in a BFA in acting, and
so
I learned
strange.
I know, right? And I learned all of the why is it strange?
Well, no, I'm just saying that it's a good strange. I just find it
curious.
I mean, the what you do
doesn't
give me acting.
Oh, really?
Like, you're good at this, you know, whatever you're portraying yourself as, and it's, you have more individuality behind that. I don't know if acting gave you a leeway in there, but I think the way that you're more of an entrepreneur than an actor, I'd say.
Maybe from an outside perspective, sure, but I've always loved acting. It's really like it's my favorite thing to do. Now, granted, I think my other abilities to be able to cultivate people, you know, be able to speak clearly, has given me more opportunities to act, which I think is beneficial. But, you know, with the talent group, they've taught me more of the business side of things, which is what I knew a little bit of the business side of the theater and movie world, but not really when I went here. I mean, there is so much out there that people don't know of, like what's going on in good ways though, of like just like how to make a self tape, even simple stuff where you might not know whether you're an actor or not, even a photographer. We work with tons of photographers at the talent group with, in terms of Cleveland and Pittsburgh. Yeah, if you want to send your stuff in, we would happily look at it, you know. And we're actually always looking for new photographers to work with, especially in Pittsburgh.
Oh, definitely.
So yeah, I mean, reach out to me anytime, Caleb, and I mean, we can get you hooked up.
Yeah, I know. I definitely filled out that form at the event.
Yeah. You're still there. We're just there. There was so many applicants, not only from there, but we blasted them out like on different socials, because like, you know, the talent group has been around for 30 years. We are the top talent agency in the Pennsylvania and Ohio area. So with that, you know, Stephen Black, the owner of the agency, he has cultivated, obviously, a ton of connections in the industry. So when it comes to, you know, Jamie Slavinsky's Ensemble Actor Studio, which is like an acting, she does a bunch of acting classes, you know, we work with her, the Pittsburgh Film Office. So there's a lot of connections around that Stephen knows and the talent group has, you know, cultivated to be able to do that kind of stuff. So
it's exciting because it's like what I've learned, it's actually less about what you're taught and more about what you want to learn.
Mm.
You know, I've recently learned the new word autodidactic. It's a really cool word and I love it because it has one of those, it's a very fun word to say, but what it essentially means is, the way I believe, is college should teach you to be autodidactic.
Mm.
So from that, can you take a guess at what that's doing? Take a guess.
Mm. Think differently?
You're on the right. College should teach you to be autodidactic.
Automatic.
Close enough. I mean, it does teach you to think differently, but to be autodidactic is to be able to teach yourself to learn anything.
Oh.
Being able to, like, if you want to pick up sewing, you go and you pick up sewing and you don't have to have someone teach you. You will go and find the resources to teach yourself to do that.
Yeah, that's actually really interesting because I wasn't the biggest reader here at Point Park, just in general. And I think that's probably a lot of people nowadays because of our phones and stuff. But that's very fascinating that we're autodidactic because that's kind of how I became. Because after I graduated, I worked at a bar for 6 months or so. And then I got my job at the Trust. And then I got my job at Talent Group. So I also, in that time period, I started an acting class and I started reading like a ton because it was a peer reviewed acting class. So I wasn't the only teacher. We were all kind of teachers. We all brought in elements of what we think we are really good at. Also exercises and things that would enhance the group. I brought in a bunch of books and, you know, in doing so, I read, you know, a lot of it was mostly acting books, but I did that because I wanted to learn. Like I wanted to discover more about the world, about myself, about theater and acting historically as well. Just like learning, wait, what really is this all about? And it's really been super eye-opening. Now you would have thought Point Park would have like done that for me. And they did in some ways, but at the same time, that just wasn't where I was at in my journey at the time. So I think that was really interesting in terms of what's changed already since I've graduated. And I mean, we'll see what changes for you, but you know, I would say go for it, man. Go for it. There's nothing stopping you. You're so young. I'm still super young. I mean, let's continue at what we're doing. And if you have a dream, if you have a vision, don't, you know, go for it, man. Like seriously, there's no reason not to.
I mean, I don't see why not. And
there is no reason.
There is no excuse.
Especially with your, I mean, I don't know your, you know, your personal life, but when it comes to any responsibilities, you don't have any kids right now, right?
I hope not.
Yeah. Knock on wood.
Knock on wood.
No, but yeah, so certain responsibilities bar people down when they're older and they're like, oh, you know, I'll just get a job and I'll work and blah, blah, blah. Now, I think it's important not to just blow your money when you start getting a job, but, you know, have fun. You know, you still, I think you should explore. I think people should travel. You know, I'm going to Italy in August with my family, and I don't remember the last time I went on vacation with my family. And I'm just so excited. We're going to Rome, and then we're going all the way into like northern Italy. We'll be there for a month.
A whole month?
A whole month, dude. And I'm like so excited. We have family in Rome too, so we're gonna be staying with them.
Oh, I was gonna say the Palumbo name seems very, yeah. You know, Italian. Meatball.
Yeah, keep going. This is good. Keep going.
I'm not Italian. I'm an Irish guy, so...
Yeah, so is my girlfriend, so...
So, yeah. It's just... you mentioned books, and with my thesis, I've been... It's kind of like the public discourse of political polarization.
Yeah.
And a book that I highly recommend anyone pick up is... It's by Postman, and it's Amusing Ourselves to Death, Public Discourse in the Age of Show Business.
Mm-hmm.
And it really talks... I mean... As an actor, I'm sure you understand this. In the book, he talks about this sense of how everything has become so polarized, how essentially we are selling, you know, the idea of the Enlightenment is based on a capitalistic society that is going to have morals and to choose, I'm going to buy this thing from someone because the seller is going to know that this is going to benefit me. So it's making these moral judgments at what we're buying and what we're selling, to where now we have laws in place that stop children that are ignorant and don't know.
Mm-hmm.
They can't make contracts because they're easily manipulated because they don't know. But we have those in our society that aren't children and can still make those contracts and they don't know, to where it has been less about moral judgment and understanding that I'm going to get something good, and if I don't, I'm not going to shop there. But instead, it's been manipulating this generation, where it's easier to manipulate and get what you want and make money than it is to actually be authentic and real and have morals and moral judgment and an understanding of what you're buying or what you're selling. And with social media and everything else, I'm curious in like how you look at media and how you consume media, because you are usually in it. To where I capture it, you're in it. I'm curious in how you perceive that, because the way he kind of puts it is like, essentially, this late stage capitalism world that we live in now,
has been less about, you know, fundamental freedom, fundamental understanding of others, and less about, and more about, you know, or less about knowing more and more about keeping people quiet.
Yeah.
Or quieter.
Yeah, no. I think that's extremely interesting, especially when it comes to so repeat what you said last. I just want to make sure I heard you correctly. So we're in late stage capitalism, right? That's
yes,
exactly
late,
where we're at.
Late stage capitalism.
And from being in media, it is definitely interesting. I mean, how I consume media is just kind of how everyone else does. I mean, I scroll. I don't really like to. I don't really use TikTok. I don't use Snapchat. I have them, but I don't use them. I don't even, I actually think I deleted TikTok. But the thing is, though, all of these companies, they've ingrained that type of short form gratification content to every platform. Even look at LinkedIn nowadays, like everything has a scrolling feature. So, and I get it, though, from a company's perspective, they want to keep you there. That's their goal. Their goal is to keep you as long as they want.
Not to interrupt, mm-hmm. but like behind that, what's a really my take on it is, this world has already been conquered. All the land has been conquered. But that colonization exists elsewhere. Do you know where that is? The digital world. How much time can they take from you
mm-hmm.
and keep you on that? To where now we have companies colonizing our time.
No, with 100%. And they've been doing them. And there's apps out there. And I even get them because of how many times I've tried to not go on social media. And there's a fine line because, one, I use social media as many people do, from a business perspective, a profile for you know, your online self in terms of for jobs. Like, a lot of jobs, they look you up.
They do.
I mean, like, it's true. Especially if you're an actor, you have to have some type of online presence. You know, I used to make YouTube videos all the time because I just loved doing it. I made film reviews. I made a bunch of documentaries just because I enjoyed doing it. You know, I even hired a team from Fiverr at one point. I hired a writer. I had an editor, the editor, and I filmed them. And we were all a working machine. I even had a thumbnail designer. So I know I feel you when in terms of like building things. And I think I'm getting from you is big picture stuff. And you're an idea guy. And I think that's good. I think that means you're a leader and you got some good things coming. And just to speak on real quick, going back on your structure, you're talking about structure. It's good to not have too much structure, but at the same time, if there's not enough, it becomes chaos. It really does. So if you don't have that, even for my acting class, for example, if we don't have some set things structured in place, especially if it's really specific, then it will just it won't run properly. But if you do have some guidelines and rules are what?
Parameters. Well, structure.
They're meant to be broken.
Oh.
They're meant to be broken. So even though we have this in place, and that's good, you know, if a group decides to, hey, you know what, we're actually not really into this tonight, let's do this or that, or let's change gears for where our company's going. That's good. Like, there's nothing wrong with that. But as long as you have something set in place, everyone knows what's going on. I think that's important.
Oh, certainly. And I was talking with a friend where it's, you know, once you, from the last episode, roughly, give or take, the idea of once you get an idea of getting out of the box,
mm-hmm.
you can just do whatever you, I mean, as long as it pertains, like when you get out of college, and I'm starting to get that professional work where you determine, like you have these parameters set by a client and it's like, as long as you hit those, you can be however you want and they're going to love it 9 times out of 10, even if you're hesitant. I wanted to touch on one of the quotes from the book, and he says, "The idea is not to pursue excellence, clarity, or honesty, but to appear as if you are." And I'm going to touch. Yeah. Mm. Yeah. It's a very touching point. And this is a book from 2005, and it was republished. But the point is that these people knew. Before, I mean, we talk about all these people, you know, philosophers and all that, they predicted where we would be at to where, not only in just politics, but like just that point alone, you know, where it's we're not going to pursue excellence, clarity, or honesty. We're going to pretend that we will.
Mm.
To where you see these companies or even people where they throw this, you know, persona. It's not be busy. It's look like you're busy.
That's interesting. Yeah. I mean, also, to be honest, too, 2 points on that. One, I feel like we're in a hustle culture, especially here at Point Park. When I was here, and that's good and bad. I think, you know, that's just how I operate. Like, I am a hustler. I work multiple jobs. I do all these ventures, and I know you're sort of similar in that vein. And maybe not. I mean, I think from my perspective, from an outside perspective, what I see your branding is you run a photography business, and you can have clients come in, and you can also, you do your own art. You're an artist as well, you know?
It's weird that you mentioned that, because, like, I never look at it as hustle culture, because the way I... inside looking out, I try to not make, because whenever I think hustle culture, I think of like Amazon dropshipping. Like that's, I think of like this quick, easy way to make side cash, not a passion.
Interesting.
I don't look at hustle culture, if you're passionate about it and it really builds you as a person, mm-hmm. which I don't think Amazon dropshipping is doing that. Unless some random person wants to come out and say that. I don't think they are. It's, you know, get rich quick scheme or like this pyramid scheme or whatever bullshit thing that you see online that is, oh, I can make money quick, or, you know, those ads that you see. Mm-hmm. That's hustle culture to me. I look at like a passionate project as a passionate project. This is not only just a job, but it's a way to stay alive and to always be happy.
That's really interesting. I see it a little differently. I see hustle culture as, so you're working on passionate projects. That's great. I am doing the same thing. But when you get out of here, you will get a job. And at that time, you know, that job will probably be your main responsibility, your main role. But then you still want to do these side things all the time, you know, because it's also your passion, right? Now, the main job might be also your passion, maybe not, depending on where you're starting off, right? So you have your job, and then you have your other activities, and then you have your family, and then you might have a girlfriend in your life, you know? So it starts to get messy very fast. And I will tell you this just because from my experience, people need good employees. Like, companies need good employees. They're begging for good employees. And people are always retiring every year, every couple years, right?
Oh, goodness.
So there's always going to be roles out there. You know, anyone listening, you know, especially that's graduating or whatnot, take it easy. Like, you can apply, and that's good, but, you know, especially when you're making your brand and stuff, if you're doing your own thing, people love that. They'll come to you for things. I've started to get auditions now. They come directly to me. It's only been a year, but because I've made the effort to meet people in the industry, whether it's just helping them with readings, you know, or helping somebody with an audition, or going to the Pittsburgh Public Theater and helping them run lines with their actors over there. I don't do anything over there, but they asked, they needed some help. I said, sure. And I got to meet everyone that way. No, so small stuff like that, to meet people in your industry or just to connect with people in general. Side note, my other point from earlier, you're talking about, I think, truth.
The idea of like, it's not about exemplifying.
Yes, yes.
It's about this fake mask that not just we put on social media and stuff, but this idea that we put on this different part of ourselves.
No, I get
even
it.
Even around others.
Mm-hmm. No, I get it. Totally. I think I'm always searching for the truth. I think the truth is where it's at. I think everyone is searching for the truth in some way, shape, or form. When it comes to acting, nobody wants, like, you're not going to acting school to learn how to act. You're learning how to not act. You know, you're learning how to be more real, be more authentic. So when I went to acting school, and you thought it was interesting that I'm more of an entrepreneur, I see it in twofold. You have to learn more about yourself to become whatever you become. You have to learn more about yourself to become other characters, to become an entrepreneur, to become a director, become whatever. So looking into yourself as an actor, I find it super helpful because I'm always learning about myself. And that's why when I started to read these books, I'm like, man, why am I so much more interested in reading now than I was in school? Like, that's all right. That's a little caveat that probably should be addressed in the school system. But also, man, there's like so much out there that I still need to learn about myself, and everything's adjusting. So truth, authenticity, I think that's still what people are looking for on these things, on these phones, on in social media. But also, I mean, there's always different things, but I think truth is making a comeback. Like truth, honesty, integrity, maybe not during COVID or before, but like, I think that's what people are gravitating towards in terms of like, you know, actual social media analytics and data and stuff like that. Long form content is making a comeback, and just statistically wise, I mean, long form has, if you look up any YouTube, grids or some of their analytics, they have long form content is making because people are wanting to sit down more often and watch longer videos as opposed to watching some of these shorter videos, even though they're still accustomed to it. But if they like a topic, they'll click on that full video from the short and they'll watch the whole thing, you know, because that's something they're interested in. So it's almost like a little ad for every video that you're seeing. And sometimes those short form have 10 minutes in them, 20 minutes. You know, they've extended the runtime on these shorts. So they're not only 7-second vines anymore. You know, they're a minute, 5 minutes, 10 minutes.
To where I think we're going to go back to that, you know, long form content. And I believe
1 hour, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, one of the best shows that I've watched was purely because I listened to one of NPR's, like, their culture thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it was something up Chinatown.
I'm not sure.
Not Trouble in Chinatown. It was China. I'm going to try to find this. Interior Chinatown.
Yeah.
And I don't want to spoil it,
mm-hmm.
but it really talks about these stereotypes in movies and shows, to where the Asian character is casted as all these different types of characters, and it's this comment on an understanding that, like, they can't be the main character, they can't, you know, this is what they are and this is what they have to stay as, and when they don't cater to that, there's problems.
Mm-hmm.
Rather it be external problems that usually the studio faces, because everything is now whitewashed, and that's an entirely different conversation. But it's like, it talks about these really poignant points, but it puts it into a really good digestible way.
Nice.
And it's like a 10 episode series. I encourage anyone listening to watch it. One of the best, like, nuggets that I found when I was listening to something, I'm like, ooh, and they're like, they didn't talk too much about it, but it's like such a really, it's got Ronnie Chang in it.
Oh, you're nice. Yeah.
He is the funniest motherfucker ever. And like, I've seen him on The Daily Show.
Yeah.
He's funny, but oh my gosh, he was, I don't know if he got it. Apparently he got an Emmy or something like that. Mm-hmm. But like there's so much, there's an identity in that whole show that when you watch it from beginning to end, you start to you internalize these identities. We all internalize these identities, and it's like, you know, oh, this person's better in this show, or it's like this role doesn't need to happen because it's like we get in our own heads. And it's like, when we start to overwhelm ourselves with those questions of like, oh, am I going to be good in the show? Like our own show, I'd like to look at it. And it's scary sometimes, because it's like, you know, to be aware of your own condition and to like question that, but then also want to get better. Like, you know, it's like once you receive all the payback, or like you're getting everything back, like how you're saying, like you're having people reach out to you for these opportunities. And it's like, you know, it's not like you were expecting them. But it's like these instances of, you know, knowing more about yourself now and feeling more confident and being able to do your own thing, and then other people wanting to be a part of that. Where, you know, I reach out and, you know, I want to make sure that you're doing good, and there's like that mutual connection between others and these, you know, professional worlds. But at the end of the day, we're all people.
Yeah. And since you're about to graduate tomorrow, really, congratulations to you, man. That's huge. And you have learned a lot, and you're going to take a lot, but don't forget, you're going to continue to learn, and you're going to continue to learn forever.
Oh, people, learning never stops.
No. And that's a good thing. I mean, some people, Neil deGrasse Tyson said this the other day. I watched something that came across my feed, crazy enough. He was like, people threw their caps and gowns up in the air, and they celebrated leaving. They celebrated. And he was like, why? Why are they like running out? Like, why are they doing that? Like, there's something wrong with the institution if they're celebrating leaving a learning environment. I guess that was high school more so that he was talking about.
I kind of agree with him.
Mm-hmm.
I think we do think that that's like high school because it's like, I can't wait to get out in the real world. But I think it's like more people are running away, but it's kind of that fight or flight where it's like, this is the time where things are awesome and great. And it's like months down the road, are they just going to be at home? Or, you know, not to say that that's a bad thing, but it's like this idea of, you know, I made it.
Yeah.
But it's like, you know, to get to those high moments, we have to go through the low moments.
Yeah, absolutely. You learn so much more from failure than from success, man. I mean, what do you learn from? You can learn some things from success, but ultimately you learn so much more from failure. But I always think, I mean, I think this is a superpower anyone can learn. The power of perception, how people see you, how people, how you conceive yourself, receive yourself, all that stuff. And also just how you can manipulate that.
In a good way.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you can also manipulate it in a bad way if you'd like. But, I mean, that's up to you. It all just depends. Like, for example, I'll give you an example. When I was at SGA, I made the perception of SGA that we were extremely strong, that we had a record member turnout than ever before. We brought SGA back from the ground. And that's all true. That's still all true, right? But at the same time, and we also did all these things where we got, you know, we tried to fix the Wi-Fi. We got, you know, a Wi-Fi assistant. I don't even know if that actually finished up. Bus passes, all these really, really great things, right? But on the other hand, you can flip that, you know, it's like the spin room almost. You can flip that perception around and say, SGA was not able to hold a parliamentarian in the spot in SGA for over 3 months at a time. What is wrong with SGA?
Well, yeah, you could look at the good end of that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I just think, you know, how people talk, how people communicate, how people, you know, talk about certain things makes a difference one way or another.
It's interesting you mentioned that because, like, the more that the research I've done, what is it, right now my thesis has, like, 6 chapters.
Mm-hmm.
And each sub-chapter just kind of helps influence the other. But, like, you know, the idea that I really kind of experience this political disconnect and it's like you're right there in it. You're in this chaos and it's like, you know, I do well in it, but the thing that I always struggled with was the surveillance of capitalism and how it exploits that human experience. Using our attention, preferences, and vulnerabilities as raw materials for behavioral prediction, to where it's going down to those commercials that we see, these ads, these shorts, to where they trigger more of that fear of missing out than in to tap into those emotional reflexes. And all it is going to do is serve us anger. You know,
I don't even think it's just fear of missing out. It's just fear in general. Oh. Like people prey on our fears when we look at Trump or we just look at anything. You know, fear is a great motivator, though, at the same time.
It's one of the best advertising motivators.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. You know, some people hate their bosses. You know, but, you know, it's true, though. Some people fear their bosses. But some bosses are assholes because they want to motivate their team. You know, it's a weird way of saying that. But some, you know, not complete assholes, but some are, you know, harder.
Or reserved.
That's another way to put it. Because they know their team can do better, can always improve, but there always has to be a line between the leader who kind of runs the company or business or whatever organization and the people that work under you. I think, you know, that's a whole other conversation, but
oh, definitely.
Yeah, I think it's definitely interesting.
It's, you know, the idea that it's this performative demand and how it almost introduces this, you know, quiet silence or quiet violence, and how, you know, hesitation can be read as betrayal.
Mm-hmm.
And in the same way, nuance, you know, the nuance that we find in collective circles and even in education and learning new things can often feel unsafe because some other people can say, well, what you're learning is not right, or, you know, being able to find what is and isn't right. And it's, you know, how do you, and if going back to, like, you know, how you said that you struggled reading in school. And in that same way, I find that people celebrating graduating isn't celebrate. I mean, I think there is that fight or flight response where it's celebrate now for what can happen later, because I'm going to, things might not be the greatest later. Or it's, you know, I can't wait to be done with this, because it's that anxiety that's just piling. Because I can admit that anxiety is sitting with me, because I know that I'm prepared and I have all this potential. It's not the lack of opportunity. It's the abundance of opportunity that is so much more draining than having nothing. Because when you have nothing, you have so many things to go to. When you have everything, you have to be specific. You have to be intentional. Not just intentional, but, like, you have to care about not just your career, but your own personal wellness.
I'm telling you, it goes back to why I went to acting school. I wanted to find out more about myself. And, you know, you said you have all these opportunities, and you do, man. We both do. Everyone has opportunities. But when you realize, if you haven't already, when you start doing these things for yourself rather than for other people, either for your family or to prove it to other people, sometimes it's good to, like, rub it into someone's face. Yeah, don't get me wrong. But, you know, when you start doing stuff for yourself, Caleb, that's when you know that's when you know you're doing the right thing.
It is very, you know, I on this podcast, I talk about resilience, this ability to build that better self to where you can not only do good in bad situations, but in good situations, you know, thrive in those.
And also how to take care of yourself after a bad situation.
Being gentle.
Yeah, I was actually sophomore year, I think, right here. Karen Olivo was invited to come here, a Broadway veteran. And I asked her a question. I said, hey, you know, I'm doing all these things, you know, what can I do? But what can I do more? What can I do better? She's like, you know, give yourself grace. You know, give yourself
patience.
Yeah. You know, give yourself some grace. Give yourself, you know, it's okay. You're doing but you can. You know, love yourself. Take care of yourself. And I think as a society, we've definitely gotten better at that than, you know, 10, 20, 30, 50 years ago. But it can always be improved. There's always these stigmas around trying to take care of yourself, whether it's going to therapy or whether it's just, you know, meditation. I meditate. I go to therapy. And also, I, you know, I take time for myself. I go for walks. You know, I read by myself. There's a lot of things I do by myself. I've been meaning to take myself to a movie because, you know, you're not going to go with friends. Like, some people go by themselves. Not that I don't have friends. Not that you don't have friends. It's just like, do something for yourself, for your own mind. Like, it's, I think that can be really beneficial to allow yourself to just sit with yourself.
I don't think we're doing that enough. And that's an entirely different thing. And, you know, I'm not sure how much more time I have of you. But when it comes to, you know, one of the quotes that I have, you know, Roland Barthes, wonderful guy. He's very, 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 very conceptual. But, like, he's kind of like the theory of photography. And he, in his book, Camera Lucida, I highly recommend anyone pick that up. Good luck reading it. You're going to have to read it 5 times by the time that you realize what he's talking about and his death of his mom and all these wonderful things. But, you know, to touch on, you know, last two things is, you know, he says, to see a photograph well, it is best to look away or close your eyes. How does that translate to you?
To see a photograph well, you have to look away or close your eyes.
It is best to look away or close your eyes. What do you take from that?
I don't want to look away. That's my initial instinct, because when you look at a photograph, there's so many details in it. If we're going to get a little deep here, you know, you can look at so many different things, but at the same time, it brings me to this. Just from an initial hunch, like my initial reaction to what you just said, you know, if you love it, let it go. You know, if you love something, you have to let it free, whether it's, you know, I mean, I wish I had another year here as SGA president to be able to work off of what I built going forward. And I know the people who are here did an excellent job, but you know, there's always that thing where it's like, man, if I could have done this or could have done that, but you have to let it go at some point. Again, it goes back to acting all the time. There's a reason I went into acting, man. It's not just a fluke. It's that when you go to auditions, you get rejected more than anybody else in the world. Maybe dancers get rejected a little bit more, and maybe magicians. That's about it.
Magicians.
That's about it. Actors get rejected all the time, and you have to be fine with that. Sometimes there's projects with big feature films, big movies that you really want to be a part of. You have to let it go, and you get better at that the more and more you audition, the more and more either you audition or job interviews. It's the same thing.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, it's the same thing, though. You see, I just said job interviews, and you're like, oh, my gosh, all these things. It's literally the same thing for both of us in different ways. And how it triggered, you know, a response to you, I think, is also fascinating how, you know, we do some of these things in acting where it's like sense memory, where we look at something and we just kind of take it in. And then we kind of have it in our memory. So when we go back to it in a scene, we have a connection to it. So, you know, sometimes you can do that for 5 minutes, just staring at an object. It's crazy. So to have that kind of patience, there's so many different exercises, but I find acting therapeutical sometimes. So
I think that's kind of like I picked up this thing just through writing my thesis, narrative therapy. It's mm-hmm. about not very similar to I'd say that you're just reenacting these experiences and kind of reflecting, and that's good. It's very similar to narrative therapy, to where I'm able to write about things and then I can slowly kind of fine tune it to I can say it, but I can say it and feel proud of this moment. And going back to that quote, in my thesis, I talk about this idea of the photograph, and it's good to experience a photograph. The best way to experience one is to look at it, look away, and really kind of, you know, reflect on that.
Yeah, that's also interesting. Look at it, look away, and then try to recreate it.
Yeah.
What do you remember? What are the things that stuck out to you so much? I also think that's also interesting.
It's a really unique thing that I started doing, especially covering politics, to where how do you cover something but still be able to capture it and document it even though it may disagree with you internally?
Yeah.
To where I would have to look at a situation, look away, look away, look back, and say, this is it. You know, this is what's happening. And I can't, it's kind of going against that fight or flight response. To where sometimes we see something, we want to go towards it. To where we see something, close your eyes, ask yourself why you're feeling those emotions, why you're what you're seeing, the context. Yeah. You know, there's so many questions we should be asking ourselves when we see it. So it's, you know, I start to see myself in some images. To where I think it's a huge thing. I did a project about burning photographs, and I deleted them after I burned them. So I deleted them and then burned them. And that process is just devastating. It's literally, you know, the idea of dragging and dropping photos into a trash can isn't anywhere near as sentimental as literally having a fire not too far from here. And I lit them on fire, and I have an urn with ashes of those photographs, and I don't have them anymore.
Wow.
And it's kind of that same thing, to be able to have that photograph, and it literally lives in that memory. Mm. And I encourage you to, you know, there's this, the same practice of like writing all the things that you're having trouble with and breaking a plate.
Mm-hmm.
And it just kind of starts to no longer contain you.
Yeah.
And kind of tie that into, you know, reflecting on the photograph and whatnot, is how do you reflect on how caffeine affects you? How do you reflect on that?
I don't drink coffee.
You don't drink coffee?
Mm-mm. I drink tea.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And I actually, to be honest, I barely drink pop or anything else. I mainly drink water.
That's awesome. Fist bump.
And I do that because, I mean, some people, I don't know, I like the taste of water, and I've always been a water drinker. Plus, I don't really care to put other stuff in my body. And when it comes to waking myself up in the morning, I get a cold shower. Like, I just, that's kind of how I do it. Now, my brother lives off coffee. I know a ton of people that live off coffee. But, you know, maybe I'll have it in a couple more years, but maybe that's my youth still kicking. So that's good for me for now. Even though I know it's caffeinated connections.
I mean,
I think it's also nice if you can live without it.
Oh no, there's some wisdom in that, and like I just dropped pop and soda and fructose nice. Corn syrup.
Oh yeah,
it has changed the way I perceive. Like, if you want to like a culture shock,
mm-hmm.
drop something that you do all the time,
mm-hmm.
and then go back to it. It is
crazy.
10 times more sweeter than it should be.
Yeah,
because like the other day I had I was like, okay, I'm gonna try
the
this
detox.
Mountain Dew. It is literally a detox, mm-hmm. because you go back to it and you're like, how did I manage to deal with it?
Like, one of my friends who I used to have like really bad addictions to marijuana. So they was like, dude, just like take a detox, man. Especially either for good or bad. Sometimes they just did a detox because they couldn't get higher. They couldn't like reach that high anymore.
And they needed
without paying so much money. So they had to detox themselves to continue to get a good high again. Because they did it every day, and yeah, so I think that's really interesting. I do have to run here, but I want to thank you so much for this conversation. I really appreciate it.
It's been a blast. We could probably talk for another hour.
We could talk for 3 more hours here. I'll say this real quick. At the Talent Group, as you know, we are looking to hire not only interns but also full agents, assistant agents, junior agents. We're hiring at present. At the Trust, like I said, you know, we have these spaces available. They're underutilized, in my opinion, and I work in them.
This is in Pittsburgh?
Yeah, in Pittsburgh.
Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania, in the Cultural District. Yeah, I mean, you can utilize these spaces. They're there for you, for artists, you know, near and far. So I think it's important. And jumping back at the Talent Group, you know, there's some really great people over there that have tons of experience. They have a combined experience over 100 years in the entertainment industry. They've worked with photographers, they've worked with casting directors, agents, producers, everything. So whether you're in marketing, sports art and entertainment management, communications, film, theater, acting, all that stuff, it's an incredible opportunity for you to come and, you know, learn from some of the best in this area.
Yeah, and where can other people find you, or, you know?
Yeah, the website's talentgroup.com, and you can actually submit your resume and applications to shack@talentgroup.com, S-H-A-K, @talentgroup.com, or to myself at mark, M-A-R-C, @talentgroup.com. And just a little teaser for you, because I've been doing so much. I haven't told this to anyone yet, but I am starting my own production company. It's called Playbox Productions, and it was founded from my acting class, because we've been getting together for the past couple of months, and they were like, "Man, can we do some work together?" And I'm like, "Yeah, let's do it." So it's Playbox Productions. It will be eventually playboxproductions.com, our website, and we'll be producing theater plays, American plays by new American writers and directors, as well as doing some films eventually along the way. So there's a lot coming along the pipeline. I'm really excited, and there's a lot of people helping me out with this, so I'm very appreciative of them.
Well, I hope I get to be in on this, since you're telling me.
Yeah, man, absolutely. Of course. Don't worry. I'll keep you in. I'll keep you in the loop.
This will be out, what, 2 weeks from now? So that people will learn about it 2 weeks from now.
Okay. There we go. Yeah, it's still very new. But I wanted to let you know that it's happening. Yeah.
Yeah, either 2 weeks, 3 weeks, something like that.
We're going to be a nonprofit, and going to be producing, you know, a lot of new works with writers, directors, obviously actors, but like everyone that is an artist in the area, near and far.
This is going to be exciting.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun.
All right, thanks so much, Mark. Take it easy, guys, and make sure to grab yourself some water, because Mark said caffeine isn't all that great, but
Caleb was like, I am so confused right now. Listen, though, water is amazing. I think it's great. But if you want to drink some coffee, I don't blame you, because I know people need it. And who knows? Maybe I'll eventually come back to some coffee here and then. But yeah.
Let's wrap up right there, and enjoy yourself.
Have a good time, and remember, have peace. Take it easy, guys. See ya.